Hello and welcome to the Voices of Awareness podcast, where we're listening to the pioneers of authentic cultural change. In this first series, we're focusing on abuse and the church. Let's first remind ourselves what Richard Scorer answered when I asked him why survivors were asking for the resignation of Cardinal Nicholls, the head of the Roman Catholic Church in England and Wales.
This was survivors saying he has to go because his personal handling or mishandling of cases is so serious. So, you know, he cannot any longer be a credible leader of a church that is purporting to take safeguarding seriously, because in the cases that he was personally dealing with, he didn't take it seriously.
The Independent Inquiry into Child Sexual Abuse into the Roman Catholic Church in England and Wales between 1970 and 2015 received more than 3,000 complaints of child sexual abuse against more than 900 individuals. More than 100 allegations were reported each year between 2016 and 2019. After ICSA's damning report was published, Cardinal Nicholls made a statement and directed it to the survivors.
I want to say again how very sorry and distressed I am that this damage was done to you, and done to you in our name. And I promise you that we will keep working. I want people who have suffered sexual abuse to come forward, and to come forward with some confidence that they will be listened to. It won't be so difficult as it was in the past, but you will be listened to and you will be helped.
One survivor said, "The church needs a seismic shift in culture, especially at the top. If there's any hope at all of real change, it will require a relinquishing of power and a will to treat survivors as human beings." In 2018, a survivor's confidential, intimate information was leaked by a senior member of the Roman Catholic Church, either in England and Wales or in Rome. Here's what Cardinal Nicholls said about that leak during the ICSA inquiry.
The origin of the leak in this country is a new assertion to me, and I will find out who it is to the best of my ability.
We'll come on to the question of whether he kept that promise later, but first, here's Mr. Altman asking him more questions on behalf of the public of England and Wales.
What have you done about asking the CDF or the police in the Vatican to keep you informed about their investigations into this leak?
I don't know if they are conducting investigations into this leak.
Have you asked?
No, I have not.
Do you not think you ought to have done?
I could do so.
I know you could do so, but do you not think you ought to have done?
As you can hear, there's an air of tension in the room, but this is the point where it goes utterly surreal.
I hesitate to say this, but the leaking of information, gossip, is rife.
This isn't gossip.
Across Rome and the Holy See.
This isn't gossip, Cardinal. This is, you couldn't imagine.
No, excuse me.
More, forgive me, if you kindly let me finish. Mm-hmm. You couldn't imagine a more highly sensitive, confidential and damaging exposure to a victim or survivor of sexual abuse. This isn't gossip. The fact remains that highly sensitive and confidential information was put into the public domain by somebody who was highly placed within the Roman Catholic Church, either in Rome or in this country. That is not gossip by any person's definition, is it?
A clear distinction was finally made between the leak and gossip by Cardinal Nicholls. Keeping his promise to the public inquiry to discover who the leak was remains a priority amongst the public. Well, a couple of weeks back, I invited Cardinal Nicholls to record a podcast with me, and he politely declined via his press secretary, Alexander. Alexander told me, "There is no merit in going over this sensitive case in a public forum again, and we will not take up your invitation to do so." Carol Lawrence, the leader of the Roman Catholic Safeguarding Project in England and Wales, did speak to me.
I'd just like to come back to the question of the leaks of a survivor's information, because to me that's a very current issue, because we're still waiting for an answer. Mm-hmm. And Cardinal Nichols at ICSA promised that he would find out to the best of his abilities, and that there is no news about that. Mm-hmm. So for many people, it's absolutely current to the day.
Mm-hmm.
With that kind of thing not being resolved, don't you find that destructive to the good work that you're doing?
I would like to say, come June, when all this is done, that actually we're in a really great place. And you're quite right that any unresolved issues detract from being in that great place. As I said, that's outside the scope of my work. It's certainly not something I've been involved in. I can take it back and make the point again afresh that this is something that we need to see if we're able to resolve.
That would be well above my
pay grade to resolve it. But I will certainly take that back and say that this is an issue that we need to try and bottom out.
Okay, thank you very much. Question of that leak begs so many questions, because at the end of the day, we're asking ourselves, well, how many clergy had access to a survivor's details that it could be leaked without knowing who it was? A survivor's details, how many people have access to them?
Okay, well, I can certainly talk to you with authority about Shrewsbury, because we use a particular computer package, and I know a number of other dioceses use the same computer package. So we have two parallel systems, one for volunteers. So safeguarding officer has there and access to it with some admin staff, because obviously that's where we run the DBSs and things through. On the other side of the software that looks after case management, which is where survivors' details will be stored, that's very controlled. So access is restricted to a very small number of people. There is an order trail through the software over who logs on when and how, or for how long. I think, although I'm not certain, that if we checked, we'd be able to see what they looked at. So there is very tight control over those software-based packages now. Any paper files, historic paper files, are kept under lock and key. And again, there's very limited sets of keys that are kept in specific places that very few people know about. That's very, very restricted. So certainly in Shrewsbury Diocese, if anything came from a survivor file, we'd be able to track who had access to it and who was able to do it. So as I said, my expectation is that's the same in other dioceses. Not everywhere has computerised records yet. Some are working on paper records. The particular instance you're talking about, I don't know how those records were kept, so I couldn't comment on how many people had access or how that worked in that particular instance.
Well, it's been over 2 years since that information was leaked, and we look forward to hearing from Cardinal Nichols or Alexander with some truthful transparency and accountability, rather than an expectation that we will forget about it. The full interview with Carol Lawrence will be broadcast next week, and it's a lot more positive than this particular aspect of it. You've been listening to the Voices of Awareness podcast, and I'm Andy Taylor.
Did you just expect that we would somehow forget, and one day this would not really have an effect? How could you just stand by and watch the fists fly and block out the nights when all we did was cry? Where were you when it was happening to me? You say that you didn't know and you didn't see. How is it possible that you missed the signs of a hurting body and crossed boundary lines? was the protection. How you couldn't stop it. Upon further reflection, how you wouldn't stop it. And you still don't seem to understand what it's like living in confusion land. My head said yes, but you said no. But somewhere inside, I knew it was so. I kept asking, and you kept lying. And that's how we learn to keep denying that it ever happened at all. Put on a happy face and play ball. Inside, the truth sleeps until one day light shines in the dark places hidden away. And we remember the horror and a face that took our innocence without a trace, used our body and twisted our minds to believe that we were at fault for one of a very special kind. The trail of victims is long and deep, and the pain won't end until some die in their sleep. Why aren't children protected in their homes? Why do victims end up feeling so alone? I dare to speak out, and I pray, my friend, that this crime against so many will come to an end. It's not okay to abuse and use anyone. It's not okay to abuse. It's not okay.